"No, they don't," said Cohen, sliding awkwardly off his horse and massaging his knees. "Well-known misapprehension, that is. Trolls never ate anybody."
"No?"
"No. They always spit the bits out. Can't digest people, you see. Your average troll don't want any more out of life than a nice lump of granite, maybe with perhaps a nice slab of limestone for afters. I heard someone say it's because they're
Cohen paused and wiped his beard.
"Made out of rocks."
Rincewind nodded. Trolls were not unknown in Ankh-Morpork, of course, where they often got employment as bodyguards. They tended to be a bit expensive to keep, until they learned about doors and didn't simply leave the house by walking aimlessly through the nearest wall. As they gathered firewood, Cohen went on.
"Trolls' teeth. That's the things."
"Why?" said Bethan.
"Diamonds. Got to be, you see. Only thing that can stand the rocks, and they still have to grow a new set every year."
"Talking of teeth," said Twoflower.
"Yes?"
"I can't help noticing."
"Yes?"
"Oh, nothing," said Twoflower.
"Yes? Oh, let's get this fire going before we lose the light. And then..."
Cohen's face fell.
"I suppose we'd better make some soup."
"Rincewind's good at that," said Twoflower enthusiastically. "He knows all about herbs and roots and things." Cohen gave Rincewind a look which suggested that he, Cohen, didn't believe that.
"Well, the horse people gave us some horse jerky," he said. "If you can find some wild onions and stuff, it might make it taste better."
"But I..." Rincewind began and gave up. "Anyway," he reasoned, "I know what an onion looks like. It's a sort of saggy white thing with a green bit sticking out of the top. Should be fairly conspicuous." "I'll just go and have a look, shall I?" he said.
"Yes."
"Over there in all that thick, shadowy undergrowth."
"Very good place, yes."
"Where all the deep gullies and things are, you mean?"
"Ideal spot, I'd say."
"Yes, I thought so," said Rincewind bitterly. He set off wondering how you attracted onions. After all, he thought, although you see them hanging in ropes on market stalls, they probably don't grow like that. Perhaps peasants or whatever use onion hounds or something, or sing songs to attract onions. There were a few early stars out as he started to poke aimlessly among the leaves and grass. Luminous fungi, unpleasantly organic, and looking like marital aids for gnomes, squished under his feet. Small flying things bit him. Other things, fortunately invisible, hopped or slithered away under the bushes and croaked reproachfully at him.
"Onions?" whispered Rincewind. "Any onions here?"
"There's a patch of them by that old yew tree," said a voice beside him.
"Ah," said Rincewind, "good." There was a long silence except for the buzzing of mosquitoes around Rincewind's ears. He was standing perfectly still. He hadn't even moved his eyes. Eventually he said,
"Excuse me."
"Yes?"
"Which one's the yew?"
"Small, gnarly one with the little dark green needles."
"Oh, yes, I see. Thanks again."
He didn't move. Eventually the voice said, conversationally,
"Anything more I can do for you?"
"You're not a tree, are you?" said Rincewind, still staring straight ahead.
"Don't be silly. Trees can't talk."
"Sorry, it's just that I've been having a bit of difficulty with trees lately, you know how it is."
"Not really. I'm a rock."
Rincewind's voice hardly changed. "Fine, fine," he said slowly. "Well, I'll just be getting those onions, then."
"Enjoy them."
He walked forward in a careful and dignified fashion, spotted a clump of stringy white things huddling in the undergrowth, uprooted them carefully, and turned round. There was a rock a little way away. But there were rocks everywhere. The very bones of the disc were near the surface here. He looked hard at the yew tree, just in case it had been speaking. But the yew, being a fairly solitary tree, hadn't heard about Rincewind the arboreal saviour, and in any case was asleep.
"If that was you, Twoflower, I knew it was you all along," said Rincewind. His voice sounded suddenly clear and very